Sunday Meditation, September 2nd, 2001. The question of the day has to do with the situation concerning our planet and all that we inhabit it. We would like, quote, to give us some information about the, I guess you'd say, the quality of the consciousness of our planet when you consider the various wars, diseases, famines, and crises that occur on a daily basis. As each of us, as individuals, go about our daily lives, dealing with the various levels of stress, whether it's family, or work, or community, or whatever, we're wondering, how does the planet, how do we as individuals, find a centering point? How do we find the joy in the moment? How do we really be of service to each other and to ourselves? This is a rather wide-ranging question for Quo, and we appreciate whatever you have to say on the topics that are most central in our mind.
We are those of the principle known to you as Ukuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We come to you as a voice of love. To this planet we speak the ways of one, the ways of unity. We have a very simple tale to tell. And we thank you for bringing us to you to be able to share this simple philosophy. A philosophy truly too simple to be easily understood. We are most grateful to you for your infinite genius in creating questions that look at that subject which is always and ever the same, in ever new ways, giving us new opportunities to work with the words of your language and the biases of this instrument in order to share our heart through the heart of this instrument and the one known as Jim. We are extremely gratified to share our thoughts and would only ask in return that each of you is extremely careful about what you choose to listen to and what we have to say, for what we have to say is a truth to us, but it may not be so to you. That which resonates within your heart, by all means, consider, for we hope to offer interesting and helpful thoughts. But those things which do not resonate, we ask that you leave behind without a second thought. Some thoughts are for you, some thoughts are not. That power of discrimination that each of you has is golden, as this instrument would say. Treasure it and trust it. No one else can tell you what is right for you. You are the authority for yourself. You are the teacher to yourself. You are the guru in a very important way. For those things which you desire to know lie within you now. It is a matter of remembering and coming again into awarenesses that you have had many times, not necessarily within incarnation. One great goal of each of you within this incarnation is to become aware that you are dreaming and to become able to make the dream of incarnation a lucid and a conscious dream, one that is, in some ways, to some extent, a matter of your choices and your control. For these skills, much is required of time and attention and discipline. And each of you is well aware of these things, as are we, for we too seek unendingly, driven by the desire to be truly one with the Creator, and yet still aware in many ways of our own biases and our group biases. Always, it seems, the spiritual path has another turn and another, and the road leads ever onward. We rejoice in this endless journey that truly is not endless but cyclical. For in the fullness of the time and space that you now enjoy within this creation of yours and ours, we all will come to the octave. We all will coalesce again into the one infinite Creator and become an unpotentiated unity. And in that beating of the great heart of creation, one creation shall end and another begin. We share this walk with you, this walk from source to source, from light to light. We greatly enjoyed your conversation. And thank each of you for all that you laid aside in order to attend and place time and attention on things of the Spirit. How precious that desire and thirst for truth is, my friends. We can never thank you enough for your desire. For it is your desire that calls us to you. Your desire and your sorrow. For we do hear the sorrow of earth. We hear the sorrow of its people. And we want to respond. Hopefully in ways that are of service. That is one of the questions that is on your minds today. But we shall not start with that. We shall focus briefly on the state of the planet, for that is one thread of your questioning. Is there a gain or a decrease in love upon planet Earth? Indeed, there are a number of ways to answer that question, but we will choose two. Firstly, as the one known as Romy has said, the surface of life has a spurious and shallow reality that is nonetheless undeniable. It is a world of complete illusion, and in that world, the dragon thrashes its tail, and angels in flesh quiver, defend, worry, and hope to respond in ways that add love to the illusion. A little positive, a little negative, and the illusion wags on, doing the job that it was meant to do. Thoroughly confusing, baffling, and frustrating all efforts of the linear and conscious intellect to control it. Bringing each, inevitably, surely if each is honest, to the realization that the self knows nothing, that the life of the surface has nothing, that all is vanity and a striving after wind, as this instrument would quote from her Bible. Such is the surface of life. Such is the design that was intended for that illusion. And at the same time, may we say that there is tremendous growth in the metaphysical sense among the peoples of the planet. It is abundantly, richly clear on the metaphysical planes of your planet. That a tremendous outpouring of love and concern has streamed into the earth plane. Many earth native individuals, and by that we mean those who have been within the planetary influence as souls since prehistory, in your terms, have come through the many waters of many, many incarnations over thousands of years, and have slowly but surely come to the point where the alarm clock has gone off. The awakening of the spirit within flesh has taken place. And there is now the realization within many, many individual earth native souls that they are citizens of eternity. That they are infinite beings. And that the surface of life while due great honor and attention is not all that there is, but is only the gateway to the present moment, which is infinite. And these voices have become a great choir, asking and seeking and knocking at the door of truth. There is a call going out from your planet at this time that has been going out from your planet for a considerable number of years now, that has activated and doubled and redoubled the light energy upon your planet. Further, as many within this room are intimately aware, many entities have chosen to travel to the earth plane from other planetary influences for the purpose of entering into the experience of being an earth native, plunging the self into the third density atmosphere once again, in hopes of serving the planet and its people, but also in hopes of doing work upon the self, of reevaluating that all-important choice of third density, the choice to love by radiation and unconditional love, or to love by control and magnetic attraction and the overriding sense that people need to be managed for their own good or for the greater good of the whole. This is work that is common to all at this time. All who are awakened. All who have begun that transforming opening of the heart and the spirit. For which each took birth. We hope that you feel very good about the work that you have done so far. And we hope that you will redouble your efforts. Not to do, but to be. For the work of consciousness is the work of asking the self to be the self most truly and most deeply. What is the self? Upon the surface of the incarnation, the self is a personality, a collection of biases, opinions, beliefs, and suppositions, an amalgam of gifts and quirks and challenges. The interesting thing about personality is that each of you chose both your gifts and your limitations, your abundances and your lacks, for very good reasons. The challenge is to come into some fuller realization as time goes on as to what the pattern is behind those challenges and those gifts. What was hoped for by the higher self that is you when you and your higher self planned the big points, as this instrument would say, the plot points of this incarnation? Why did you put that blockage there, that remarkable gift there, that incredible stupidity over there? These things were placed there for a reason. Why did you choose relationships with this and this and this entity that delight you and aggravate you and make you angry? In each connection, there is a fullness of goodness, if one can but see the plan. As the one known as Connie has said, that is the challenge. And one seldom sees the plan until the pattern is complete and one has the blessed advantage of hindsight. how to be one's self. A question we still seek the answer to ourselves. We know that our direction lies along the trail that leads to the Creator. Along that ever seemingly darkening trail that rounds curve after curve until at last that creature that eats its own tail, that is the Creator, has found its tail again. And the self is swallowed up once again in absolute divinity. Light shines within that direction, yet in a way that is hidden from the outer eye and from the eye of circumstance. Most often the spiritual riches are found when life is at its darkest and most challenging. For it is then that the little hammers and chisels and acid water etch and smooth and craft and sculpt and find the gems within the ore that is the personality shell. So the learning to be the self is a gest of tremendous patience and persistence. And yet, at the same time, advances are often made in blinding steps forward that seem like the dawning of a sudden sunrise, the turning of a corner which opens into a new world, the epiphany of the senses and the soul. Be prepared for sudden and stupendous moments of awareness. Because you see, you are a being. You are not an activity or a process. And you surprise yourself being yourself sometimes. And in those moments, when you have hit a resonance that strikes deep down into the self, suddenly the moment opens up. And you become aware of all that you are. Of the tremendous unity that you have with everything that is. And this state of mind is an actual opening into one of the inner planes, or perhaps more than one of the inner planes, depending upon the experience. So that you simply are seeing more into yourself, more into the reaches of your true nature, which is inclusive, universal, timeless, and divine. You have to remember that you are the product of the Creator's thirst for knowing itself. And your seeking to know yourself is a part of the Creator's seeking for its own identity. And what fascinates the Creator endlessly is how that identity is the same, and yet it continues to grow because of the fecund and fertile nature of spirit. You seem to stand upon the earth, sticking out into space, upon this ball that is revolving, day, night, day, night, day, night, around a minor sun at the edge of a rather small galaxy, And yet you are standing upon holy ground within the creation of the Father. And you are the womb of stars, the grave of dreams, all emotion, all feeling, all thought, all possible processes. And out of all of these things, you have chosen a certain eccentric pattern of personality and experiencing, a certain set of filters to further confuse the already illusory data of the incarnation. You have set yourself within a situation where you are at once universal and unique. You are living a life, and at the same time, you are living forever, unified, and yet never stationary. This is the key to grasping the nature of the spiritual journey. It is truly a journey because the Creator is never still. The Creator's nature is extremely strong in freedom. This freedom of will creates a state of cyclical discovery, the desire to know more, the desire to seek. It is your nature because it is the Creator's nature. And what the Creator actually is evaluating and, shall we say, feeding upon is the essence of those emotions which have been brought up in various muddied states again and again until there has begun to be more and more clarity within that particular emotion. In a way, you are a refiner of emotions. And one way to look at the work of spiritual seeking is to use some discipline in evaluating your thoughts and your emotions on a daily basis, if possible. Certainly as often as possible. For there is always the temptation to let the good and the bad slide by with the oil of time, and to seek the rest and to seek the doing, and keep busy or unconscious, thereby removing oneself from some of the less comfortable aspects of those thoughts and feelings which you have had during a day's time. Yet these responses that you have had to catalyst are grist for the mill. These are the clues that you have, the harvest of the day, shall we say, at the end of each day, that will help you to investigate your own nature. We would suggest time spent perhaps just as you are drifting off to sleep, wherein these emotions are looked at one by one as you remember your day. And there maybe seeing in each memory and each cluster of emotions the opportunity to revisit those feelings, to see into the dynamic of those particular feelings. If it is a feeling of impatience, for instance, that you are investigating, you may accentuate the impatience and really give permission to yourself to feel very impatient. And then give permission to the self to allow the opposite of that emotion to come into and flood the senses. So that you ask, show me patience. Let me feel what it is like to sense true patience. This flexing of the emotional muscle in a very meditative and contemplative way is most helpful to the unconscious mind and will to some extent clarify those dreams which are also hints and inklings that help one upon the spiritual path. One of the threads of inquiry this week was having to do with service to others and how to evaluate such service. And truly this is a question that moves to the very heart of spiritual work within third density and beyond. It is a question that we answer when we come and speak with you through this instrument, rather than landing on the lawn, impressing you with our looks and our differentness, and then attempting to persuade you to our point of view. We attempted service in such direct manner at one time, and we found that it was not acceptable in terms of the infringement of free will that we cause. We now are perfectly content to speak in ways that can never be proven as real. Because we feel that the information will speak to those for whom it is helpful. There's a law of attraction in seeking, so that we know that one way or another, the thoughts that are needed will come to those who truly are asking. And so we add our voice to those voices that are available. If someone seeks such a voice, much of service to others is wrapped up in the study of polarity. However, underlying this polarity is a ground of being that has to do with the nature of the self. The self and all selves develop along certain lines. There is a line of spiritual maturity. And what one is looking for in sharing one's gifts is the opportunity to aid in a way that aids the self and the other self along the lines of spiritual maturity. It is not the same to serve someone who is asking for those things which will feed into spiritual maturity, and to ask for those things which simply are preferred or wanted by an individual. It is not the same question to ask a seeker, will you help me buy this red car that I really love? And will you help me to find myself? When entities ask things of you which have to do with opening your heart, finding patience, finding words that support and encourage, there is generally no feeling of should, but rather a genuine desire to serve. Among your peoples, it is very common for entities to wish to control each other by need. And there will be the need for presence, the need for attention, and so forth, where no spiritual maturity could ever be gained, no matter how generous a supply of time and attention was spent in doing these things. In some cases, it is quite obvious that someone is in need, dire need, hungry, thirsty, without proper clothing, and so forth. In other cases, especially with those with whom yellow ray connections are shared, such as family, work, and old friendships, there may be requests made to which, for one reason or another, one feels a very strong compulsion to pay attention, but which, in truth, hold no spiritual content. This does not mean that it is incorrect to serve if the feeling is to serve. What we would leave you with on this subject, for we realize this instrument is telling us we must get on to other questions, is the thought that you cannot make a mistake. Because you are not here to figure out or to solve the riddle of life. You are here specifically to be confused by it, to be puzzled by it, many times to be completely crushed by it, in order that you may think and feel and choose and learn. You are making a journey from your head, where things make sense, to your heart, the seat of your feelings, your intuitions, and your true knowledge. It is exquisitely perfect of you to do what you do, to agonize over the things you agonize over, You are never going through an improper process as long as you are paying attention to yourself and giving yourself the honor and the respect that should be accorded to a soul. The one known as Jesus, as Romy pointed out, said, "As you give to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, so you give to me." And this instrument recalls the one known as Mother Teresa saying, "I never have a problem cleaning the sores, wiping away the sickness and the stench from those terribly sick and dying people that come into my clinic, because I know that I am looking, when I look down into that face, at the face of Christ, and it is His eyes that I am cleaning, and His sores that I am cleansing, and His filth that I am washing away." If you are taken in by someone who abuses your charity, yet we salute you. If you choose, as this instrument has, to find a way to channel money to those places that she is totally sure will provide charity, will provide food for the hungry, and that is just as acceptable. One may seem more open-hearted than the other, but each entity is going through her own process, and that which you feel is going to be right for you at that time and at that place. So we simply encourage trust in the self and the continuing awareness that there is more. There is much, much more than the surface available. You have but to ask how to center, center. How to ask, ask. It is that skill of coming back into an awareness of what you are doing, of where you are, of being in a moment that brings you back into the moment. Becoming self-aware is the key. And it only takes a moment. Each time that this trick of remembrance is done, it will engrave that habit a little deeper. And truly your mind is a creature of habit. We would at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are those of Makua.
I am Kuo, and greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to ask if we may speak to any further, briefer queries.
I had a question. Bruce Perret wrote me a couple of days ago and said that the Earth was angry. Something had happened in Antarctica. Some combination of people native to Earth and people that don't come from Earth. I don't know whether that's wanderers or whether it is people from other planets that are in collusion with some aspects of our government, have been bad boys down in Antarctica in some way. And that finally the Earth has actually gotten upset. It's really upset at humankind. I wonder if you could comment on this perception of Bruce's.
I am quote, and am aware of your query, my sister. The entity that you know of as Mother Earth, as it is frequently called, has for many of your years had many, many reasons to find anger within its own heart for the population of humanity that inhabits its exterior crust. There have been degradations upon degradations visited upon many places and areas of this planetary sphere. Reason enough for anger, for resentment, even for retribution. However, we can assure you that the planet upon which you dwell bears no ill, we correct this instrument, bears no ill will for any of the population that currently inhabits its outer garments. However, there are what you may call reflexive responses where there is the venting of heat that has been built up over many thousands of your years due to the inharmonious experiences shared by those populations upon this planet. The anger, the frustration, the bellicose actions of thousands of years of human history have stored within the planetary sphere itself this heat of anger. And it is this heat of anger, long stored, that is now being released in what may not seem to be a controlled fashion, in what may not seem to be a benevolent manner, and yet which is indeed both benevolent and taking into account the least destructive means possible for the vent. For it is the time of harvest for both the planet and the population that lives upon it. And at this time of harvest, it is necessary that this heat residue, which has built up over time, be released in a manner which does the least harm, shall we say. The release of this heat is necessary in order that the planet itself may come into harmony with those fourth density vibrations which not only beckon, but which now welcome this planet. Thus you may see various geological catastrophes, as you may call them, occurring with greater frequency in order that this heat may be vented in a manner which is as euphonious and harmonious as possible. Is there a further query, my sister?
Yes, thank you for that. My first reaction when I heard this was to start the net of love meditations again, something that I used to do every day back in the 70s and 80s when I was working with Andrea Poharch, and I haven't done it for a while. And basically it was just the idea of letting my love flow into the planetary web and sort of envisioning it flowing into a net of love. I saw this at one time, and it was really a beautiful vision that there was a net of love around the planet and also lining the ocean bottoms, just really protecting the Earth and its inhabitants as best as it could as the Earth goes through this transformation of itself. Would you say that this was generally the correct approach? Would you have any suggestions along the lines of how to respond to this situation?
I'm aware of your query, my sister. We would indeed agree that such a meditation that sends love into the planetary web itself is most helpful in this regard, for long have various entities in different cultures taken it upon themselves to enter into this type of meditative state in order that the vibrations of love may be injected into the planetary sphere and become part of that which heals the ruptures in its outer garment. There is no greater healing power than that of love. And to this love, the planet does indeed respond. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, thank you.
I don't call. We thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question. Mr. Smiling Face, what did you do over the summer? Did you pick up any strange alien women or anything interesting since the last time we met?
I'm aware of your query, my brother. Though it would appear that there has been a great deal of time, as you call it, which has passed since we last spoke to this group, we can assure you that for our means of reckoning, there has been but a blink of an eye. For as all time dissipates, when one moves outside the stream of time, yet there is the eternal moment in which all things occur. Both are true. It is a matter of focusing the attention. And depending upon how deeply one looks into any moment, it may be but a flash, an instant, a brief encounter, or an epic tale may be told in the eternal now. We also have enjoyed our time and timelessness, and trust that you have as well, my brother. Is there a further query at this time?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned once before, I seem to have received a lot of unseen spiritual help at times, and as you're fond of promoting meditation, sometime in my meditations, I would just like to give my thanks and appreciation to all those that have given me their assistance. And as Sometimes I guess it would be helpful to know what kind of assistance and who it has come from. You were rather bashful about saying who before. Is that still true? Can you give me any idea or to who I can express my appreciation to?
I am quite and am aware of your query, my brother. Though we are aware